America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Hello, this is Kristen Hoffman, and it is with great love, joy, pleasure, and spirit that I am listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
Hi, my name is Missy Crutchfield with Gandhi's Bee Magazine, an online magazine designed to raise awareness and inspire people about all of the amazing things happening in the world, as well as all the challenging things that can help us raise awareness so we can make a difference in the world and be the change. One of my inspirations is Sister Jenna and America Meditating Radio. I listen, you should too.
You ran for state office and was beaten. Started a business and failed. Ran for Congress and lost. But thankfully, Abraham Lincoln didn't give up. Persistence. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum. I attended the EWG Gala last night with Senator Boxer and Chris Carr, and I have to tell you, things are changing, my friends. We are really trying to fix the stuff that we have done, and it's great that if each of us just contributes. I know that sometimes we can be critical, and even I might find myself forgetting my role. I met the most sweetest young guy last night, everyone, and I'm going to be a little sarcastic, but please love me anyway. And the reason why I'm trying to protect my whatever's left of my dignity is that I go to these things, right? And I'm trying to protect the environment, but I'm eating meat and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But I get it. The fact that it's okay that I still do that, but at least maybe I preserve water or I take care of the plants, or it's okay, I get it now. And I was okay with all of that. And I met the sweetest young guy who's doing an incredible work on out of New York in a small nonprofit, and he was really initiating an awareness of just take one day a week and not eat meat, and just gradually think that you're still contributing to the environment and to the world. And I just thought, even that's good enough for me. The fact that he's conscientiously knowing, I can do only one day. And I just wanted you to know that's when you're really aligning with your truth. And who knows if from that place it might shift and move on to another level of truth. The change is inevitable. Stay tuned. We're going to have Tosha Silver, who graduated from Yale and who is an incredible author on a new book called Change Me Prayers. So we're going to have a chit-chat with Tosha. But before we do, I would like to play This Love by Lucinda Drayton on her Bliss CD and take you all into the zone. Breathe in deeply and enjoy.
They sing the music. rising above. Taking just a minute, I imagine stepping into a hot air balloon. The balloon slowly lifting up into the blue sky. Looking down, I see the picture of my life. Any problems seem so small. I take this moment to enjoy silence, peace, and to rest my mind. As the balloon gently descends, I return to my day with a quiet and peaceful mind.
Welcome back, my friends. That was Rising Above on Just a Minute by B.K. Jayanti Kripalani. And I hope you enjoyed the track by Bliss called This Love. You're listening to America Meditating Radio, broadcasting live from the Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. We want to turn the lines to our lovely Sister Geeta and have her do a special reading on us. What do you have for us today, sis?
Good day. Trusting we're all acting out the role of being companion of God. This book is written by one of our world's wisdom keeper, Daddy Jenki, and the topic, pure feelings. People have experienced a lot of deception in their lives. There has been a lot of exchange of everything that is false. So feelings have become, it has been destroyed. It is why some people have stopped feeling altogether and have rejected the world. However, when a soul starts receiving something from God, the heart opens up. So let us start receiving something from God and have pure feelings. Let us experience what pure feelings are. Let us have trust in each other and faith in ourselves. Let us learn to love ourselves. Let us therefore take from God and give to others. When we have very powerful good wishes for others, good feelings for others, those good feelings reach them. We can help each other through the power of our good feeling. Deep in my heart, there is just this one feeling, just as I have received so much from God. May all God's children receive the same from their Father, the Supreme, the Highest, Benevolent, Merciful, Always Loving. This is your Father's quality. Om Shanti.
Thank you. The America Meditating Radio is very proud to welcome Tasha Silver. Tasha graduated from Yale with a degree in English literature, but along the way fell madly in love with metaphysics and yogic philosophy. I'm sure her parents must have gotten really excited. And for the past 30 years, she has taught people around the world ways to align with inner love. She's the author of Outrageous Openness and recently released Change Me Prayers, The Hidden Power of Spiritual Surrender. Tasha lives near San Francisco, where she runs an online school about these ideas called Living Outrageous Openness. Think like a goddess. Tasha says that the guidance from the inner divine begins to lead when it is sincerely invited. So today we are very privileged to welcome Tasha on the air. Hi, Tasha. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. So were your parents like jumping for joy after they paid all that money for you to go to Yale?
Well, my father, who thought I was going to go to law school, was definitely not very happy. But my mom is, you know, I think she kind of had an innate understanding about something inside. She had sort of always taught us to really listen on the inside in our own way. So I think from the beginning she understood. It's kind of a, I'd say, a mixed reviews on my decision.
I could just see your father going, that's all your fault. That's all your
Pretty
fault.
Pretty much, actually. I think you're psychically channeling my family right now.
I sure am. All right, Tasha, we're really glad that you could join us today. And I know that your teachings, you know, center around a much-needed power called love and also love for the divine. Could you share with our listeners, Tasha, what's the divine and why has the soul of Tasha emerged in really allowing her life's purpose to be around this particular subject?
Well, to me, I think to keep it out of denominational religions, I just see the divine as that source of love that's inside of everybody. And regardless of what orientation they have, or even if they consider themselves an atheist, they still can feel that connection to, practically everybody has had the experience of loving a thing or loving a someone. And that energy to me is the divine on the inside. And I would say, actually, the core of the teachings is really about how to surrender to that energy, as opposed to giving it a list of things that are wanted. Or, you know, I often think that the purpose of both books, and I think why they struck such a chord with so many people, is because a great deal in the culture is about how do you use the universe to get what you want. Even if you're focusing spiritually, these are the prayers I want because this is what I want to have happen, or even just that focus in general. And it really turns it on its head. I was seeing very little contemporary writing about how do you actually surrender, not to an external form, but to that force of love inside you. So both books are very much about that. How do you build a relationship to this inner force of love and then allow it to use us, as opposed to that more common utilitarian focus of, well, how can I use the universe to get the following list of things I want?
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I'm totally agreeing with what you just shared, because I think, unknown to us, we were holding on to a lot of stories that perhaps are no longer useful. So the question is, how do I open myself up and how do I actually surrender to a story that I feel now perhaps is just better for me in a sense, or more in alignment with the experience that I'm carrying as of today?
Okay.
So when you talk about surrender, could you share with us some of the benefits as to when a soul surrenders, especially to the divine?
Well, again, because I'm thinking of it not as a surrendering to, you know, an external punishing force or anything like that, that it's a surrender into this enormous force of love on the inside that really has the most exalted plan for each person. That there's already, that's one of the basic ideas in Outrageous Openness, the first book, is that there is an exalted plan for each person that the ego often can never figure out through its list of desires. And I partly was coming to that because I had so many experiences over the years when I was giving individual sessions with people, of many people who got all their personal desires. They found the perfect partner, they got the house they'd always wanted, they had great career success, and they truly were still not happy. So that began to show me pretty clearly that desires alone aren't going to fill that ache on the inside. Even the greatest partner can't fill that. But that surrender into love, which I think of another word for that is as an offering to love, because I think some people get squeamish around the word surrender sometimes and they think it's a passivity. But it's actually a relaxing and an offering. It's almost like in the Bible where it says cast the burden. That to me is what this is, and that it's one thing to talk about it, but there's very specific ways to cast the burden of the life, not just to talk about it, but truly to do it. And both books are about that. The burden's not only shared. You know, so I think a lot of people would say, well, I invite God to take my problems and help me solve them. And I'm like, oh, that's stage one. But there's a stage where the problems are truly offered to the divine, and then they become love's problem.
I hear you. And there's something that I've been hearing a lot, and I think you must hear it a lot from your clients, is that everyone is always looking for that perfect partner to fit, you know, or to complete that void. And I think historically we have observed it's not happened. And I think that the perfect partner that we might be calling for is an amplified state of our own self, in a completed self. And perhaps something connected to the divine that we need to amplify within ourselves, and then whoever comes to us in our amplified state are actually basically supporting the work that I've already done. Does that make sense to you?
That's exactly it. I would agree 100%. I mean, in a sense, you could say one of the most basic spiritual ideas is that the outside reflects the inside. And so when that focus on the integration is happening on the inside, as if really nothing can come on the outside that you don't feel worthy of on the inside. So I think it's true that to me, the true partner, regardless of whether you're looking for one, you could care less about the topic, you're with one, the true partner is the friend on the inside, always with the
deployment. Well, you just touched me on that point. Nothing can come from the outside that I'm not worthy of on the inside. Woo. Facebook, tweet, send that out to the world. That is so true.
It's so true, yeah. And I think it's often left out of the discussion, which is what causes so much pain, or someone will say, well, I'm focusing on this and focusing on this. But I think if the energy is put towards that inner beloved, that's a lot of the work I'm doing, is helping. I no longer do personal sessions with people, but I run this school, Living Outrageous Openness, online. And so much of the focus is teaching people how to connect to that inner beloved so that you have that going all the time, regardless of whether there's someone on the outside or not.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the Living Outrageous School online, and what could someone expect if they were to sign up to become a student of the school?
You know, it's set up in a way, I think right now there's 450 people in it from all over the world. It's got a weekly phone call with me, and then there's a private Facebook community where people are really working on a very practical level with how to let this inner love take the lead. And then I come onto the private Facebook group as well and then do the weekly calls. And it's really been going for about a year now. And it was really set up because, again, there can be such a disconnect between knowing these ideas sound good, like let God or offer all to the divine, but it's a very different story to deeply live it. Especially in a culture that's always saying, go get it, make it happen, do more. You know, what if somebody else takes yours? It's a very competitively based culture. And even many people who meditate and have done spiritual things have found themselves falling into those thinking traps because they're just what we're taught since birth. So this is a very intentional online community and school for everybody's helping each other live on a really practical level these ideas and, you know, discussions around how do you do this with money? How do you do this with you need to move to a new home? All the basics. How do you do it when you're raising kids where everything is offered to love and you learn to really act from the intuition and how the divine shows itself in your inner voice, in a very practical way. I know there's a lot of people that meditate very well, and then the minute the meditation's over, they're back to anxiety and worry. As I'm sure you've seen that.
You know, and that's why I am not a supporter of the emptying your mind meditation. I think we are now being ushered through to let me percolate the right thoughts in my mind, so as I'm living, I don't shake so much.
Yeah, and I think that can be true, for sure. And then the other side of it is whether the divine is consciously invited when non-meditation is happening. Because then I think everything becomes meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can be standing in line at Walgreens, and if you're saying to the divine, all right, I'm offering this to you, you know, is anything going on today that I need to offer back to you? The whole standing in line at Walgreens becomes a meditation. It's kind of interesting.
Correct. Congratulations on the release of your new book, Change Me Prayers. I know you mentioned it a little bit. And the fact that the hidden power of spiritual surrender is really the main focus. Please tell us a little bit about it. And what is the hidden power of spiritual surrender? I know you touched on it, but I haven't gotten a chance to read the book yet, but I'm looking forward to do that. Where is it going to take us? Because I feel like it's a book about, and I could only speculate here, it's a book about I, the soul, and the soul's relationship with God, and trusting that relationship and watching how that will flourish and how that makes my life flourish. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, I would say that's sort of a baseline of it. And more specifically, the reason the book is called Change Me Prayers is because it came out of, you know, I got thousands of letters from the first book outrageous openness. And what people were saying is, okay, this is really exciting, this idea of letting the divine take the lead. However, on a day-to-day level, I'll have something happen like, you know, we've all seen this. Like one woman wrote to me once and she goes, but, you know, I have a terrible problem with procrastination. And no matter how much I'm inviting the divine to take the lead, I still procrastinate, or I still am scared of not having enough money, or whatever somebody's individual issue is. So what I started playing with, because this is just how I live my own life, that you can really do direct prayers to the divine that say, let me become somebody who's free of procrastination. Allow me to always do what I need to do next. Or that there could be a very direct invitation for the divine to shift us. And as basic as that sounds, I wasn't seeing much out there about that. It was more like, well, you know, do these things and hope for the best. And I'm like, no, no, you can actually ask God directly. So,
nice.
You know, it's a direct invitation for transformation. And they're kind of, I don't know, like I say, basic, and yet seldom was I finding people were thinking that way. And then when the letters came from the second book, it was quite something, you know. People would say, oh, it never occurred to me. You could ask the divine, allow me to love myself. Rather than somebody just telling you, oh, you should love yourself, which doesn't always help, that you can actually say to the divine, shift me into someone who can love myself.
I love that. And how is the soul of Tasha doing at this stage, after the book and the letters and the online classes? What is she feeling inside of herself today in terms of the sum total of her story? And what can she teach us right now?
Well, I would say at the moment, I say that the more I do this work, the more I write about it, the more I teach about it, the more I'm pretty much just in right now. And I'm sure I'm not the first person to talk about that, but the focus has started to just become gratitude for right now and letting go of the story from the past, which starts to get boring after a while, I think, for anybody. And the
I love you saying that.
They're very helpful for that. Like, so, again, somebody will say, well, how do I let go of that story from the past? I built a whole identity on it. And,
right.
And again, to me, that's a changing prayer. You can say, free me from this story that you and I are both tired of, God. You know, it's like, free me from that story. And let me be in the now filled with gratitude. And then that takes care of the future. So I would say that's a very simple focus.
Simple but meaningful and sincerely shared, which is, I think, perhaps the genesis behind our definition of success. Because I think when the soul performs karma or actions, if the intention for the soul at that point is as pure as it can be, then the sign of my choices are, I think, are so rooted in my intention. I think the sign of that will be a lot of joy and contentment and curiosity in what my tomorrows will hold, in what my tomorrows will hold. Tasha Silver, you are an incredible human being. Thank God and the destiny for designing you. Thank you. And before I let you go, leave us with your favorite life quote and information where our listeners can find work about what you're doing. And please, if you're ever in Washington, D.C., we would be happy to host you for a discussion at the Meditation Museum. Most welcome.
Thank you so much. I love that. I would actually say my favorite quote is from an Indian saint named Nisargadatta Maharaj. And I love his work, and I quote him in both books. And what he said is that when passionate desires are allowed to become preferences, then life begins to happen through you and for you instead of by you. And that, to me, really is actually the foundation of both books, that as the way passionate desires become preferences is by offering everything to the divine. And as things are offered to the divine, then life begins to happen for you and through you and not by you. And that sums it up. So if people want to learn more how to do that, I would say they go to toshasilver.com, to my website. They'll see the link to read more about the Living Outrageous Openness School online. And then they'll see there's meditation CD, there's about 20 different video or audio classes that are already recorded that they can hear. There's a lot of work about this, and both books they'll see on the website as well.
Thank you so much, Tasha. Sending you divine love with a whole lot of surrender.
Thank you. You too.
So I think my takeaway definitely, apart from a lot of other things that Tasha shared with us, nothing can come from the outside that I'm not worthy of receiving. Whoa. Thank you for listening to America Meditating Radio Show. Please download the Pause for Peace app just so that you can have it 24/7 at your access. When you wake up in the morning, America Meditating. When you go to bed, America Meditating. There is such a resource of information for your own transformation on that little app that was designed by our 13-year-old. Download it now from your Android or your smartphone, and it won't even cost you a penny except 10 seconds. Pause for Peace app. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same, so let us do that. And we're going to end today with a beautiful song by our friends at Agape. And that's going to be Holy, Holy Way by Ricky Byers-Beckwith. Take care, everyone. Happy holidays.